The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
Okay, so, what do we got to talk about this week?
In a world overrun with formula movies and lame Hollywood reboots, two brothers from separate mothers scour the outer edges of entertainment to separate the potential cult classics from the B-movie bombs. They watch the films so you don't have to. They are the Heroes of the Frame.
That's a good start.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Keepers of the Fringe. I'm Derek. I almost just said I'm Chris. I'm Derek. With me, as always, is the M'Baka to my T'Challa. Chris, what's up, man?
You watch your damn mouth. What? No. Hey.
Hey.
It's a family show, man. Hi, people.
Family show? What the fuck are you talking about?
Tell to say M'Baka to my what?
T'Challa.
Oh.
M'Baka. That's the...
That's fun to say, isn't it?
It is.
M'Baka.
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 It's like,
hello.
It's like Chewbacca, but with an instead of a chew.
Very observant of you, Derek. That's his deviant art version. M'Baka.
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 He's got nipple clamps and.
Boy.
He's got shave patches in strategic areas.
Oish. Okay. I don't like where.
I hope that ain't real.
I don't like where this is going.
Somebody draw that. I want to see that. Well, I don't want to see it, but just, just draw it.
That's
put it out in the world.
That's M'Baka.
M'Baka. I want him to be pink and fabulous with nipple clamps and strategically shaped areas, and just going to town on Hansel.
That's what I'm talking about.
No.
There should be some kind of glitter or kind of something glittery in there.
And have fucking nightmares, and then it'll be a.
I was trying to do the joke. He's coming for you, Derek.
No. Anyway. Yep. Man. Now I gotta figure out how to transition to the fucking.
Oh.
So yeah. Anyway,
sorry.
Okay. So.
And here we go.
So. Now that the M'Baka is done, let's go get on a little serious note here, because we do have a couple of Keepers condolences. And the first one we'll do is comedian Gallagher passed away. I don't know about you, my brother, but I'm not a huge Keeper. I've never been a huge Gallagher fan myself.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really seen or heard anything in a long time from him.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm assuming he was still going, but I don't know.
The only thing I can really remember of his act is the watermelon smashing, so. I don't remember any fucking jokes.
I did remember seeing like a couple of specials when, you know, like in the early days, which there was some funny stuff I remember, you know.
Sure.
The one thing, the only Gallagher thing I have as a story is that I remember at some point when I was like teenager, early 20s or something, and I was talking to somebody, and he goes, "Hey, you're real funny, you know?" And I'm like, "Oh, well, thanks." Oh, no. He's like, "You remind me of Gallagher."
Oh,
and
I was no.
Like, but he meant it as a compliment, and I didn't feel like I was, I felt all the blood drain out of my body. I was like, "Oh, I have to rethink everything." But he meant that as a good thing because I guess he liked him, but I didn't know that's what. And I was like, "Oh."
And your only thought I'm was, never speaking
"What again. Is your major malfunction, numbnuts?"
But I mean, that doesn't really feel nice to say. But I just that's the only thing I can think of when somebody mentions Gallagher.
I'm like, know. Somebody, you made me Gallagher.
Thanks.
What am I wearing? I'm not wearing fucking suspenders and smashing watermelons here. That's almost as bad as that's almost as bad as the time you received a rubber chicken from our friends.
Fuck, maybe I was like, oh,
I know, right? The fucking rubber chicken. Oh man.
Yeah. But actually was like, oh, I never had a rubber chicken. I was like, oh.
Speaking of rubber chickens, at my day job, we have a room where we keep our like paperwork and stuff, and it's a locked room, and it has a key, and the keychain, we call it the chicken room because the keychain has a tiny little rubber chicken on it.
What the hell's going on in that room?
You don't want to know. But,
I actually kind of do.
That's what I'm talking about.
Gallagher passing. So of course, of course, our condolences to his family, friends, and fans. I guess he must have had some.
Yeah.
We're
very bad at this, you know. That,
we are. We're wicked bad.
It's not good.
But the other passing that we wanted to mention was voice actor Kevin Conroy passed away, who is best known as the voice of Batman in Batman the Animated Series. And for many people, he was Batman.
Yeah, he was the voice of Batman. Every time I think of Batman, that's what I hear in my head.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And you know what sucks? I mean that was that. I mean, that does suck. When I heard that, I was like, oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know that he, you know, like, I wasn't expecting that at all. Well, you texted me that. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, man.
He was 66, and I believe he passed away of cancer, which is very sad.
Yeah.
Not because...
Well, what's sad is... Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, not only was he a great voice of Batman, but he could also switch really easily to Bruce Wayne and do, like, a really good Bruce Wayne as well, which was cool.
Yeah, like he was just, you know, like it's funny because I was just playing that Gotham Knights game like a couple weeks ago or whatever.
Mm.
And at the beginning, they have Batman, but it's not him. And I was like, that's how I judge the Batman. I'm like,
right.
Like at first I hear it and I'm disappointed that it's not Kevin Conroy. And I'm like, But I remember thinking while I'm playing this is that in this game, Batman is dead, and I'm like, oh, you know, that sucks.
Oh, man.
Now doubly so. And I'm like, oh, man. Because I remember thinking at some point, I'm like, okay, this is just a spinoff thing. And then at some point, there's going to be a new Batman game with Kevin Conroy, and it's going to be like a warm hug, and I'm going to be swinging around, fucking punching thugs in the face, and everything will be right.
Oh.
And then I was like, no, that's not... But I remember just thinking, like, well, they're going to make another Batman game, and Kevin Conroy is going to be there, and everything will be right in the world.
Right.
I'm like, oh, it's not going to happen. And that's very sad. I mean, not just that, but just the overall picture of that. I was like, oh.
I know, right? You just, like.
And now that makes that game even more of a bummer, because I'm like, fuck.
I know, right? Holy shit. Yeah.
Like, now, it kind of taints it now. Even more.
I know. That one kind of got me, because it was also a surprise. It's just like, oh, yeah, Batman died. You're like, what? I didn't even know he had cancer.
I know. I mean, I've seen some pictures, and they look like, you know, the possibility he could be sick or something, but never really. I didn't know, you know.
Right.
Yeah, like I was going between seeing if democracy was still alive, and then Batman died. Oh, that's awesome! What the fuck?
Yeah, oof, that is rough. Holy shit, man!
Yeah, I was like, Jesus, man.
No Batman. Yeah, that's it. Sorry.
Oh, we are so bad at this. But anyway.
Anyway,
I mean, that's a big one. That's really, really sad. And
yes.
Condolences to everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody in the fucking world.
Condolences to him. His family, his friends, and his fans, the Keepers included among that. So that was a tough one. Right.
Yeah.
So let's move on, shall we? But let's move okay. Forward. All right.
You're so lucky that I can't slap you.
All right, moving
so
on.
So lucky.
Moving on.
And here we go.
Speaking of Batman, related to Batman, as we mentioned previously on Keepers of the Fringe, director James Gunn and Peter Safran have been hired as the CEOs of what Warner Brothers is now calling DC Studios, which will include movies, games, and animated series. I still don't know if that will include like the CW stuff, but most of that shit's getting canceled anyway, so it probably doesn't matter.
I also heard that they're going to try to do like have a continuity of everything, like everything being,
yeah,
you know, even stuff outside the main continuity would still be connected through.
Right. So a few things we can talk about on this is one, James and Peter are mapping out an 8 to 10 year plan for the DC universe. And a quote from that is actually a quote from Safran is, this was such a unique opportunity to tell one great overarching story across film, television, gaming, live action, and animation. So that's so even more than Marvel, that'll be more like what Star Wars is, because even Star Wars now, even the games are official canon. So that's interesting. And one other thing I heard, which I don't know how that's going to work out, is that will even include the Robert Pattinson Batman that came out earlier this year as well.
Yeah, well, I must be doing the, like, the multiverse kind of deal thing.
Oh, right, yeah, right.
Now that's been unleashed.
Mm. And you heard something interesting as well, did you not?
I did. I heard you're a fucking bitch.
What is your major malfunction, numbnut?
No, I heard these are rumors or whatever. But I heard two things.
Lay it on me.
I heard that, I guess, Steven Spielberg and Christopher Nolan met with WB execs and maybe there's potential to do something with the Superman movie, maybe.
Oh, that is fucking cool.
Even though I know Christopher Nolan has had some issues with WB, and I just saw something about Twitter about Steven Spielberg talking shit about WB, so I don't know.
Yeah, but also, but that could have, you know, that was like the past WB because everything's changing now.
Yeah. I don't know if it's any of it's true, but the thought of a Steven Spielberg Superman movie sounds pretty fucking cool.
I know, right?
To me. I mean, he hasn't really delved into that world and that, you know, he's been doing a lot of like real life things, or, you know, like he hasn't really got into the fantasy realm in a while. I mean, he did Ready Player One there, but I didn't really love that.
Yeah, no, me either.
And he did Kingdom of the Skull, the crystal, the bad Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Wait, did he do that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. The idea of it.
Yeah.
Sounds cool.
Wicked cool, yeah. But then when you think of things like that, you're like, oh, yeah. I did this fun little thing on Facebook earlier today. There was I forget who it was, but
there's no such thing.
One of the websites, they were doing like a little like, you know, like that fucking March Madness shit. They were doing why can't I fucking talk?
Words.
Hard.
Today, Junior.
Words. they were doing a thing where you could vote on what, you know, like a tournament of the best Steven Spielberg movies. And one of the choices was Temple of Doom or Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. And I was like, but I got to go with Temple of Doom on that one.
Oh, yeah. Every fucking day. All day, 24/7, 365, motherfucker.
Because sure, it wasn't the best at the time, but I'll take that over fucking Crystal Skull any fucking day.
I like Temple of Doom. I mean, it's
I like
weird.
It.
It's a weird ass movie, but
it is. I like it more now than I did when I was younger. But yeah,
I like. Did as a kid, but it definitely fucked me up when I started it there. Like,
yeah, oh yeah,
it was very, you know, dark, and then the dinner scene and all the bugs and shit. And I was like, what the fuck?
And then the removing of the heart there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty fucked up.
I remember I used to do that to you guys.
Yep, I remember. Used to freak me out every time. I don't even know why. I was just like, no.
Cannibal.
Stop it.
I would just dig my hand into your chest. Everybody would just like pulled up like, cannibal.
Yeah.
But see, I miss that shit. Like, you know, like it's a kid's movie in a way, you know, like Indiana Jones. So yeah, right. You know, that seems like. But they always throw shit in there to just fuck you up. I know. And I miss that. Kids should have that. I saw somebody say that. I'm like, yes, definitely. And kids are missing out on the movies with the traumatic shit in it that you'll remember for the rest of your life.
Yeah, you know what's funny, too, also on the Facebook or the Meta, I've seen things where people post memes that are like, oh, I survived, you know, riding in the back of a pickup truck and all, you know, all this other stuff when I was a kid. And I was like, oh yeah, well, I survived Temple of Doom and Secret of Nim and The Last Unicorn and Watership Down and
all kinds of everything. Everything was fucked up.
So
I saw Jaws when I was like 2, and that fucked me up on any body of water for my whole life.
I know, right? Anyway, what the fuck?
But I heard that at some point that's why Steven Spielberg got out of making that kind of shit, because I guess because there was some blowback and he felt bad, and then he kind of like turned away from that. And I'm like, no,
come on, man, that's what you were.
Don't turn away.
Don't turn away. You were the best at that shit. It was good. We enjoyed it.
Yeah, so all those fucking people bitching made them start going into like real world shit.
Who the fuck wants that?
We all want to see that.
As traumatized as we were, we still loved it all.
No, but he's made good movies. I mean, they've been good movies, though. But I'm like,
yeah,
I
sure.
Kind of miss him doing the, you know, fantasy action adventure kind of shit, you know?
Yeah, me too.
But what we were talking about was the DC thing, and what I heard is Spielberg potentially maybe being in the mix.
Right.
But, you know, there's nothing to that. And I also heard that Andy Muschietti there might be a contender for directing Justice League 2. I guess that is going forward.
Interesting.
In what regard, I don't know. But, well, they have Aquaman and Wonder Woman, even though Wonder Woman 84 was a fucking
train wreck.
I don't know what the fuck was going on there, but.
Sure. Yeah.
I keep wanting to rewatch it, but the more I think about it, it just, I can't do it. Like, every story decision is so bad that I can't get over it.
I know, right? Like, I'm like, maybe it wasn't as bad as I remember, but then when I think about it, I'm like, no.
Yeah, like, every plot point is so stupid that I can't. Like, I don't think there's any amount of watching that's going to make that go away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm assuming she's going to still be in the running there. The Batman, I don't know what the fuck's going on there, but Henry Cavill, he's getting back in the fold, so.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. We might start finally getting fucking good DC movies.
Did you see Black Adam yet?
Not yet, no. Especially after your what you said about it. I'm like,
that I kind of hate it.
Well, not just that, but that it's like a like just a, you know, like.
Yeah, it's just.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's just, you know, it's just a generic, you know, like, you know.
Yeah.
You know the movie. Before you know, everything that happens, you know.
Right.
You don't even have to go see it. You see the trailer, you're like, oh, okay.
Exactly.
And there's a bunch of stupid shit in there, too, that just like, oh.
Mm.
And there was one thing near the end part where I'm like, there's something they do that I'm just like, don't do this because you're just prolonging the inevitable end here. Because now you're putting him in a situation that you're going to have to get him out of just so we can come back to help you. And I'm like, what the fuck? Don't do it. And they did it anyway. And I'm like, I just want this movie to stop. I just want to get off.
And that's why I haven't seen it. I just want
to get off the ride.
I think that's something I can.
But some people have enjoyed it.
Yeah, I've talked to a couple of people that enjoyed it. But I don't know. To me, it's just something I can wait. I'll probably see it when it, you know, like comes to HBO Max or whatever. But
yeah, I mean. I think it's just the burnout. I was like, I can't take another generic comic book movie. And I don't feel like it represented the characters well either. So that just kind of irritated me.
Mm, right.
So it's like, okay, they're in here. That's cool. But then I don't really feel like you're representing them correctly. And that makes it irritating.
Yeah. And I did not want that right now. I'm not ready for that.
I'm not ready. but anyway, so maybe DC will start getting their shit together, and then
maybe we'll start actually seeing some competition, some good DC shit. I would actually be very excited about that. Again, you know, I do like DC. We both like DC, you know, so we want to see them do good stuff.
I do. I want it. I really do. I've gone into every DC movie hoping this will be the one.
Mm.
And there's been a couple that I was like, okay, that was not bad. But
yeah. But
there's been way more like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that fucking cancel out the ones that were actually good. All right. Well, I think maybe it's time for us to move on.
Yeah.
Probably. And here we go.
So, next up, this was kind of, I don't know if you've read anything about this, but it looks like there's some kind of potential collaboration going on between Lucasfilm and Studio Ghibli, which is, of course, the great Japanese studio behind some great classic animes.
Yes.
Like,
do you have any more?
Yeah. No. So, of course, you think they would mention some of this shit here?
Well, the ones that did, like, Howl's Moving Castle, right? And, like, yep. Princess Mononoke. And,
mm-hmm. I believe Spirited Away.
Spirited Away.
Yeah. So they've been, you know, they're classic. Everyone who's even dabbled in anime knows of Studio Ghibli. And so they're now.
Actually, yeah, I haven't watched enough of those, actually, but I've enjoyed what I have seen of them. But.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I should watch more of them. But now there's some mystery project that Lucasfilm and Studio Ghibli are working on. No idea what that is at the moment, but it could be interesting, perhaps. Although it could just be something like another short in that Star Wars Visions. Did you watch all of that? I did not. I watched some of it and then
the Vision thing?
Yeah.
No, I didn't watch any of that, actually.
I watched some of it and then I kind of dropped off and I have yet to go back and finish it, I realize now, but eh.
Isn't there only a few of those?
Yeah.
Two?
Mm-hmm. Yep. What's your point?
No, I just can't remember if there was like a whole bunch of them or it was just like a couple small short things, right?
Yeah, I want to say six maybe, but I could be wrong. Maybe six to eight, less than 10, certainly. So, yeah. I don't know. Like, I thought I would love it, but I don't know. I did not love it as much as I thought I would.
That seems to be my answer for pretty much everything lately. Mm-hmm. Which I'm like, is that a me thing or I don't fucking know.
I don't know.
But it's annoying, whatever the fuck it is.
Yep. And a little depressing.
Maybe when you get to a certain age, just the the shine wears on everything. Maybe that could be it. I don't fucking know. Mm. You've seen it all before, you know.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe that's a factor. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
But I believe you can only do something so many times, and then it, you know. I don't know how many times I was different. Some people enjoy something, but there isn't an amount of times that you're going to do that. And then you'd be like, meh, I'm good.
Yeah, right.
Like bowling. I don't remember how many times I've done that, but whenever I hit that number at some point where I'm like, yeah, I think I'm good for the rest of my life. If I never went bowling again, I don't care. But as a young person, I enjoyed the occasional bowl. I didn't mind it so much. I used to go quite frequently. And I was like, wow, this is fun. And then at some point, I was like, you know what? I'm good.
Yeah, right?
And if I never do it again, that's fine.
So be it.
I mean, there's other instances, but that's one that pops to mind. Bowling. I hit the number. Whatever number of times I did it, I was like, okay, yeah, I'm good.
Okay, got it. Right. Throw the ball, hit the pins. Got it. Let's move on.
I remember the last few times I went, I grabbed all three balls at the same time and just stood there and chucked down.
Chucking them balls. Chucking them balls. Yeah. So
I remember I got beat by a 4-year-old.
Oh, geez.
One time.
Yeah, that'll.
That slow and steady shot, you know?
Yeah. That'll be a good.
I'm whipping him down there And then the 4-year-old gets up there and does the between the leg thing, and then it like takes 5 minutes to get there. But then it does that, you know, it builds momentum as it's going. You don't know where it's going to go. And then it hits a pen weird, and all of them go down, and you're like, what the fuck?
And then you're like, do that again. You could, that was, fuck you.
You know, fuck.
Fuck you, kid. Fuck you. So, yeah. So what will become of Lucasfilm and Ghibli? Who knows? Could be interesting. Or it could not. It could fizzle into nothing. Who knows? Who the fuck knows anymore? I do know one thing, though. We should probably move on.
And here we go.
I don't know what the fuck. I don't know. My fucking brain today. I don't know what the fuck, where the fuck it. I don't know. Anyway, fuck. All right, next. Next story is a short one. They don't have a lot of information on it, but apparently Owen Wilson will be returning to play Mobius, his character from the Loki series, once again in Deadpool 3. And it will apparently, he will have a big role in the movie. Interesting.
Oh yeah, he was What was his name? Mobius. On that?
Yep.
Yeah, somebody said Morbius was going to be a Deadpool 3, and I was like, what? And I thought, you know, I was
no, thinking yet.
Jared Leto there. I was like,
No, it is Mobius.
So I'm glad that's fucking cleared up.
Yeah, no shit, huh? Jeez, imagine that. How fucking,
Like, you're just going to take the piss out of him for 2 hours? Like...
Yeah,
it's Morbin time.
Morbin time.
Remember that whole thing? That was a whole internet thing going.
Yes, I do. Yes. Isn't that part of what led to them re-releasing Morbin?
Yeah, I think that was a catalyst to bring it back.
Right.
Yeah, to bring it back.
Fucking dumbass.
Have you been on Twitter lately?
No, not really.
It is insane because Elon Musk bought it.
Oh, right.
And then he's like trying to like charge to get people verified.
Oh, I did hear about that.
So people are like $8. Yeah, but people are paying the money and then verifying themselves as companies or fucking world leaders.
Yeah, I did hear about that. Yeah.
Insane shit. But they're actually fucking with companies like stock. Prices because somebody tweeted that I can't remember what the company is, but they make insulin. And they were saying,
oh,
from now on, all insulin's going to be free. And then they had to come and say, oh, that wasn't us. But in the meantime, between that, their fucking stock dropped. Like,
yeah. I did hear about that. Yes.
It's fucking insane, but it's kind of amazing at the same time.
Right.
To just see what a complete shit show everything has become on there.
That is fucking amazing.
And it sounds something like Nestle, they were posing as Nestle or Coca-Cola. I can't remember. Well, I don't know if there's a connection there, I think. But they were like, we steal your water and sell it back to you. It all just... this complete madness, and everybody just calling out fucking companies and people putting their real shit on there, and then it's fucking great. I don't know how long it's going to be around, but it's pretty fun right now to see it implode on itself.
Yeah, I love it. Well, you know, it's fucking stupid. You know what did they think was going to happen? Well, we'll start charging people to be verified, so the people that are verified are like, fuck you, I'm not fucking paying for it. But the trolls and shit are like, hey, that's a good idea.
Everybody was at first was saying they were Elon Musk, though there was like all these accounts that were saying they were him, and he was wearing all this shit. And then he's like, if anybody impersonating anybody else, he's instantly banned if they're not admitting they're a parody account at first. So then people just saying, oh, a parody, but they're just still doing it and just. Yeah, it's a complete shit show.
It's fucking beautiful.
It's kind of amazing.
It is. It really is. Yeah. So, Owen Wilson's going to be in Deadpool 3. Okay. Let's move on.
And here we go.
This is probably one of the keepers of the fringiest keepers of the fringe episodes we've ever
done. I would love, but after a tangent, we say what the story was, and then you realize how far off from it we were, and you're like, oh, you're
like, holy shit, man, how the fuck? So next up,
that was great.
I don't know if we've ever talked about this before, but apparently there's a Dune prequel series coming to HBO Max. And they have recently cast actor Travis Fimmel. So the show is set 10,000 years before the movie or the book or what have you. And it's based on the novel Sisterhood of Dune by Brian Herbert and Kevin J. Anderson. And the show follows the Harkonnen sisters, or the Harkonnen sisters, excuse me. Of course, I fucked that up. As they combat forces that threaten the future of humankind and establish the fabled sect known as the Bene Gesserit.
I don't know how I feel about it.
I know, me either. Although
I don't know enough about the Dune
lore. Right.
To be, I mean, I guess that's the point of the prequel, to give you more, but.
And also, is that just the thing nowadays? You're like, oh, we got a great story, what are we gonna do? Let's do a prequel. That's just
10,000 years, man. That's a lot.
That's a motherfucking prequel.
Like, why are we going that far?
Yeah, really. Well, yeah, it's
probably so they can just do whatever the fuck they want and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's gotta be it. You're like, if we go that far back, it won't affect anything, so fuck it.
And nobody's gonna bitch because there isn't that much written about it, so we can fucking do what we want.
That's right, motherfucker. I have mixed feelings about. Like, initially I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool, but then I'm like, is it? I don't know.
Is it cool?
Is it really? Is it cool? Is that? I don't know.
Is that what we need right now? I don't know. I mean, I enjoy. I know very little about Dune other than the David Lynch movie and Denny Villeneuve movie, which I enjoyed, and I do enjoy now the old Dune movie, but I didn't as a kid, because I was just like, it just bored the shit out of me. I was like, I don't know what the fuck's going on, but everybody's whispering and it's making me too sleepy because everybody's talking very softly like this. I'm like, what? The spice. I'm like, what the fuck? There's like the weird guy floating around with the boils, and I'm like, I don't know what the fuck's happening. Sting's here. Why is Sting here? What the fuck's going on? It was a lot to ask for me when I was a child.
Yeah. I was like, I have not seen that movie.
Oh, the space movie. It'd be like Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. I mean, I guess, you know, Star Wars was inspired by it, but in some capacity. But I mean, there is something there, but no. And trying to cram so much into that 2-hour movie,
I know, man,
it's too much.
It was too much. But like I was saying, I have not seen that movie since I was a kid, so I have no idea. I have no memory of the actual movie, like scenes and stuff. I know. I remember Patrick Stewart was in it. The line must be drawn here.
Forget that.
In the sand. Yeah. All this sand. No further. Here's the line drawn here. No further. In the sand.
Yeah, I watched it. Well, it's been a few years now, but I saw it kind of recently. But
oh, yeah.
And I enjoyed it way more. I mean, before the new movie came out, I watched it, but.
Mm.
Because I remember I bought a 4-pack that had the Battlestar Galactica movie, the Buck Rogers movie.
Oh, wow.
Flash Gordon and
Dune.
And I was like,
Now that is a setup for a wonderful weekend right there.
I was like, oh, shit, I had to watch all of that shit.
Shit on a shingle.
And it all pretty much held up pretty well. For the most part.
That's good. That's cool. That's good to hear. So
I don't know, Dune TV show, I'd probably check it out, but I'm like, I don't know if I'm excited about it. But.
Yeah, I might check it out, but I do not have like super high expectations from it. So that might be good, though. That might.
That means we might actually get to enjoy something.
No shit.
Because we have no expectations of it.
Exactly.
I try not to have expectations. But there's certain things you're like, oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
Which is what you want to have. Because
right. Like, but then.
I try to keep it low.
You get so disappointed.
Bar. They can't even clear the bar.
They can't even clear the dust under the bar.
I know. Sometimes I'm like, I put the bar pretty low and I'm like, you can't even make it over that? Really? Come on.
And no shit, right? You're
throwing me a fucking bone here. Like the Transformer movies, for example, the bar was not very high.
Yeah.
And they couldn't, like, you have one bar, you're already, the limbo, you're already doing good. Fucking Peter Cullen. I'm like, Peter Cullen is Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
That's a big chunk right there.
That was.
Like, you already have my money, but then you proceeded to make everything else so fucking shitty.
What's really frustrating about that is, they got Peter Cullen, and that was awesome, but they didn't get Peter Cullen for the right reason. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, well, yeah, they had Optimus saying some fucked up shit that I'm like, Optimus wouldn't say that. Optimus wouldn't do that.
Put the cube in my chest.
Yeah, but then it was like in one of the movies, he's like, he like freaked out. It was like he was saying he was gonna kill all the humans, and I'm like,
yeah, right. Yeah,
no,
I know you're like,
Optimus don't do that.
No, man, Optimus would never do that. Never. What would never. Optimus do? WWOD. Well, I tell you what,
and they took something that is goofy, but they made it so much worse.
I know.
Like, what the hell's wrong with you?
I mean,
but that I put the bar pretty low, and they still couldn't fucking clear that. I'm like, then they had all the fucking Transformers. I'm like, I can't even tell what the fuck I'm looking at.
I know, they're so ugly.
It's like a fucking Rorschach text or something. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck. I see two fucking donkeys fucking. Is that what I'm like? I don't know what the fuck's happening.
Oh, Jesus.
What is that? He's like, I think there's a face in there. I don't know what the fuck I'm looking at.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they're fucking tumbling around. I don't know what's happening.
I tumble for you. Sorry.
And then all the characters they did have were nothing like the characters you knew. You're like,
yeah.
Did I do something to you, Michael Bay? Did you pull all the children that grew up with this and said, how can I piss all of them off? How can I ruin it for them all? Everybody that wants to go see this movie, how can I make it suck so hard?
Who hurt you, Michael Bay? Who hurt you?
But some people did like it.
Yeah. Well, those people are wrong.
I mean, it did make a lot of money. People did like it, but I just find that hard to believe.
I know. And it's so depressing.
And you didn't even see all of them yet.
I know.
Fulfill that test.
I finally stopped, and I was just like, ugh.
Well, I only saw two in the theater, and then the other ones I saw at home, but I was like, oh, man.
I saw everything up to the last night in the theater. I just remember how horrified we were after seeing the second one. It was just so bad. So fucking bad.
Yeah, like at first I was like, it sucked me in because they had Ravage and right. Jetfire and shit. And I'm like, he pooped a parachute, man. He pooped a fucking Devastator. I'm like, that's Devastator.
Oh my God.
He had fucking balls. John Turturro was under Devastator's balls. I was like, what is happening?
Oh, that was so bad. So fucking bad.
I hate just saying it out loud. It's
so awful.
I hate it so
much. So much. Oh, Jesus.
But we digress. We can't go down that rabbit hole anymore.
No.
But
yes.
More story. Stop making me for shit, people.
Yeah, so Dune prequel series. Okay, we'll see. We'll see. In the meantime, let's move on.
And here we go.
Yeah. So, moving on from Transformers to another childhood hero of ours. It looks like Disney Plus is developing a new Indiana Jones series. So they're considering the option for a TV series set within the franchise. This comes from Variety. Word of a potential TV show came out revealing that the two companies. What two companies? Walt Disney. Oh, and Lucasfilm. Duh. Oh. They have brought up the idea in meetings with writers. And right now it's theoretical, but they have been discussing it. They have not said what exactly it would be.
Well, I did
be,
see somebody mentioning.
Go ahead.
I saw somebody mention that they should let Short Round be come back.
That would be cool.
Yeah, he knows fucking karate and shit, so he could be out there doing shit. And
I know, right?
I don't know. That'd be kind of cool.
I would love that. And you could have Harrison Ford make an appearance to, like, hand off the reins to Short Round. That would be, of course, you wouldn't really be able to call him Short Round, but
Tall Rectangle. Remember, that's what it was.
Oh yeah, Tall Rectangle.
That's his adult name now.
I actually did forget about that. That's awesome.
That rolls off the tongue, huh?
Well, it's a rectangle, so it wouldn't really roll, but you know.
All rectangle.
I totally forgot about that.
It doesn't work.
Sure.
I don't know what they should do. Like, I think if they do a TV show, they should do like I don't know, early years,
like the
all the years in between the films.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
Not young Indiana Jones, but like right. Younger Indiana Jones.
Younger Indiana Jones.
Because I guess isn't
tall, tall rectangle and younger Indiana Jones.
I was just going to say Temple of Doom. Isn't Temple of Doom, that's considered, I think, is, well, it's not a prequel. Like, well, it kind of is a prequel, I think.
It takes
place before Raiders.
Yeah.
So like, he was already doing that shit. But yeah, like stuff like that, like in between stories or different tales that we haven't heard or seen or, you know.
Right, yeah.
That could be interesting.
That could be, yeah.
Because that's what I loved about, I'm always down for a deal. I like a 2-for-1 deal or some shit like that. Like I bought a jacket. I was looking for a jacket and I went to Walmart and they had one jacket, and but it had like 2 jackets in it. And I was like, oh, I can't. That's 2 jackets.
That so is a bargain for me.
So the point, yeah, I was like, oh, I kind of like the one jacket, and then the other jacket, that's pretty nice too. And it's one price for the 2 jackets. I gotta snatch it up. But what I liked about the Indiana Jones movies is that he always started at the end of
one adventure, story. Right?
There was already something going on,
right?
Yeah, so you're getting the tail end of an adventure before the actual adventure. So I'm like, that's like a bonus adventure. And I always like that. That's my point. It's like, ooh, we got like two adventures in one movie. That's pretty good.
Sure. So maybe,
but maybe that they
could be what the series might be.
Yeah, but then they have to recast them. And I'm like, that's...
Just yeah, that's the downside. Yeah,
I heard something recently. I don't know if this is true either, but they were talking about test screenings for the new Indiana Jones movie, and I guess they've been pretty bad.
Oh no!
In this concern, but I don't know if that's true.
Oh no!
But as far as I think, the torch is supposed to be passed to that. What was the lady?
Phoebe Waller. Phoebe Waller Bridge. Yeah.
Bridge.
Right.
Yeah, which I mean, nothing against her, but I don't know. No, I don't like that. This shouldn't be passing it, but Indiana Jones. What the fuck are you gonna?
Yeah, right.
You know.
Yeah,
it's not really a title you could pass on. That's his fucking name.
Mm-hmm.
Who are we gonna have? It can't be Indiana Jones. It has to be somebody else.
It can be Alabama Frank.
Well, it's going to be like a woman.
Oh.
So like Sheboygan Shelley or something. Sheboygan Shelley. Oh, The Adventures of Sheboygan Shelley.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Or, well, it doesn't have to. I guess it doesn't have to. Indiana Jones is not. It doesn't have to be SS, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, right. But.
I don't know.
It sounds. Sheboygan Shelley sounds so good. So perfect.
I'd want to follow.
Sheboygan Shelley.
We got to think of a good state. And then a name that goes with it.
Oh. Yeah, we'll get back to you on that one. In the meantime, let's move on.
And here we go.
So, this isn't really big news, but apparently... there was once word that in the Star Wars sequels, the character of Rey, played by Daisy Ridley, who ended up being Palpatine's granddaughter, was the original idea was that she was going to be Obi-Wan's daughter. And I just think that would have been so much fucking better than what they did. So much better.
Yeah, I think it would be better, but I still think because it's a Star Wars, it's the fucking Skywalker saga, the numbered ones.
Right, right.
She should have been a fucking Skywalker.
Right.
Would have been, everybody would have guessed like that, but that's just Skywalker. The way it should have went. Yeah, they should have had the twins that were separated. Right. One went on the dark side, one was on the light side.
Yeah,
and they didn't know about each other somehow. I mean, you'd have to figure that out.
Right.
I mean, that just makes, I mean, I think because everybody thought that, that they were like, oh, we can't do that because everybody suspects, you know, that's going
to
happen. And I'm like,
yeah, because no, that's do the that. Way to go.
Yeah. Skywalker saga. Then everybody's like, well, I'm sick of movies all about the Skywalkers. But I'm like, it's a Skywalker saga, though. I know, that's right? Why they're numbered, because it's a continuing story of the fucking Skywalkers. Yeah, Fox. And then they're like, hey, we're not going to make her a Skywalker. I'm like, well, that's just, as far as a story, writing a story, that's a bad choice.
Yep.
It might have been the easy thing to do, but it's the right thing to do story-wise. would be the right choice.
You hacky basic bitches.
Hacky fucking bitches. Hacky bitch bullshit.
That's what it was.
Rears its head once again.
Hacky bitch bullshit. But
I think I would have liked the Obi-Wan maybe more.
Yeah.
And then you can still explain
the accent because
you're like, oh, she was, some of his accent must have passed through his DNA.
That's how that works, how did she right?
Have an accent? But her parents didn't have a British accent as far as I've.
Hey.
I mean, Palpatine wasn't. Nobody on the fucking, whatever. Jakku didn't have a fucking accent that I'm aware of.
Yeah, you're right.
Where'd she pick that?
What the fuck, man? Where'd she get the British accent?
Yeah, I don't know. And maybe, like, she was a kid and she lived alone with that weird fucking, that, whatever that guy's name, you know, the ration guy, whatever the fuck, he took her.
Oh, the one played by Sean,
Sean Penn, no.
Simon Penn. No. I know. It wasn't Sean Penn?
Yeah, like, I don't understand that either. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, was he, because he, you saw kind of in the flashback, he was holding her arm or something. She's like, no, don't leave.
Oh, yeah.
But what did he do? She was living a fucking, the husk of a AT-AT. Right, I think
was
an AT-AT. I don't.
Yeah, I think so.
So she was just left alone her whole life, and
right.
I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I don't either.
I'm sure there's a comic or some fucking limited series that explains that, but I don't know.
I haven't read it. I haven't read that one.
Maybe she's got you know, Learn Basic in. Maybe she had data tapes of Learn Basic and the person that had a British accent. Maybe that's where it came from. I don't know.
Dude, stop giving them ideas.
I need to go to the Toshi station to pick up some power convertibles. What the fuck? Convertibles. What the fuck was that? I don't know. Maybe that's where she got it from.
I'm sure. I don't know. But anyway.
But yeah. Here.
There you have it,
folks. Anywho.
Would have been better as Obi-Wan's daughter than Papa Pelpies. Okay. Let's move on.
And that would have tied in real nice to the Obi-Wan show. You can explain that.
Yes. Exactly.
He got freaky with somebody while he was out there in the dunes.
Getting freaky in the dunes. All right, now we should move on.
Okay.
And here we go.
Yes. So next up, they're coming out, Disney Plus is coming out with a series called Star Wars The Acolyte. Have you heard of this? You must have, yes.
I have.
And they released a cast list of people, and I forgot to save the cast list, but that's okay. But we have also an official synopsis of The Acolyte. So here we go. Here is the official synopsis. The Acolyte is a mystery thriller that will take viewers into a galaxy of shadowy secrets and emerging dark side powers in the final days of the High Republic era. A former Padawan.
Era.
A former Padawan reunites with her Jedi Master to investigate a series of crimes, but the forces they confront are more sinister than they ever anticipated.
That's what I'm talking about.
So there you have it. That's basically what The Acolyte will be about.
And how long ago was that? The High Republic?
That's the new era that they've been putting out books and stuff for, and I think...
Yeah.
I want to say 200 years before the...
200 years?
I think, if I remember correctly. Give or take.
Okay. Yeah, because I haven't read anything in that era or anything.
I've read a little of it, but for some reason I'm having trouble getting into it. I don't know why. I don't know why.
Is it possible that it is because it is shit?
That's what I'm talking about.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, some people seem to really enjoy it, but I don't know. I just...
Oh, really? I haven't heard too much about it, actually.
I just haven't been able to get into it for some reason. I don't know. I don't know. But anyway.
Well, it's weird. Star Wars is a weird thing because I'm open to new stories in the universe.
Right.
But also, if you stray too far away from what I know, I kind of like lose interest.
Right. So it's right, yeah.
There's a weird line there.
So, like.
If it's too far removed, I'm like, meh.
So, like you can do like the Mandalorian and stuff. That's a new stuff, but it's still within the realm of what you are familiar with. I got
you. Yeah. And you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I totally know what you're like, saying.
If you totally remove everything that I'm familiar with about it, then I'm like, man, okay.
Right, yeah.
See, like.
I'm good.
Like the Knights of the Old Republic, the game, like, it didn't really have any characters that I know, but there were still, like, astromech droids, even, like, you know.
Right,
and there was Wookiees, Sand People, and, you know, Jawa. Like, there was shit.
Right.
That connected. They're like, ah, okay. And Jedis and shit, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I got you. I totally get you on that one. I totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah, it's a weird line that I don't really know until it
right.
happens. That I'm like, okay, I don't care anymore.
Yeah, right. But you know like it clones. When you get there.
For some reason, I have a hard time giving a shit about the clones.
Oh, there's so many, so damn but many like, of them.
If there were stories about stormtroopers, I'm like, that's a little more interesting, even though it's kind of the same thing. But
oh, yeah. Right.
I don't know. For some reason, like the clone show there, whatever that's fucking called. What are they called?
The Clone Wars?
No, but the
The Bad Batch?
Just on the group of... Yeah. Mm. Like, for some reason, I don't give any shit about that.
Yeah, I get it. I get where you're coming from.
Well, can you explain it to me? Because I don't know why.
I don't know the reasons why, but I understand what you're saying. But anyway,
well, I think it's just that Jango guy. I don't find all that interesting, and it's just right. thousands of that dude.
Yeah, right. So, do you think you'll be checking out The Acolyte then, or?
Yeah, it's possible.
You need
punch. No, I probably will.
It's a Star Wars show, so give it a chance, see how it is.
Yeah, it has some Sith in it, so that's kind of interesting.
Because
I really don't know shit about the Sith.
Right.
And then there's only two, but at some point there were more. And right. There was a whole stadium filled with the Rise of the Skywalker. And where
those fuckers come from? Yeah, right.
Is everybody just a plus one in that fucking thing? Like, where it's only two, so they don't all talk or hang out together. So they're all invited to go to the thing, but you got a plus one, and that's your Padawan, and then I don't know.
Yeah, really.
I don't understand how that works exactly.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, and they
because I'm like never really a whole explain it. Civilization wasn't it, really.
Yeah,
I guess maybe just the teaching. There was always just one student and one.
I guess.
But then the history was the student was eventually going to rise up and take out his master and become the one.
Right. Like
Highlander kind of a situation. And then that's just a bad system. They kind of shot themselves in the foot on that one. No wonder why they died out. This is fucking stupid.
Yeah, seriously. I'm Tesla.
Said that.
But anyway, so there you have it. That's the Acolyte. We'll see how that goes when it comes out. But in the meantime, let us move on.
And here we go.
So I just had a fun, quick little bonus thing here that I thought I'd bring up with you because last episode or one of the previous episodes, we were talking about, you know, Ozzy and stuff and his new albums that came out and everything. So I thought I'd go over this. I found an article that says it's from, where are these fuckers? Louder? And it says, every Ozzy Osbourne solo album ranked from worst to best. So we'll just go over this quick and you can add in anything you want to add. There are 17 Ozzy albums. So here we go.
Holy shit.
I know, right? Number 17, Undercover, came out in 2005. That's the worst one.
I think that's a cover album, I'm assuming.
I believe.
Yeah, I don't think I checked that one out. I'm good. I don't need to hear.
Yeah, right. He did In My Life. He covered Mississippi Queen. Wow. Symphony for the Devil, All the Young Dudes, and some other stuff. Interesting. Next up at number 16, we have Osmosis, which came out in 1995.
Isn't that the one with Perry Mason and shit on it?
Yes, I believe it is, which is weird. Why weird that he did a song about Perry Mason? Very weird. That is... Number 16.
I like a song about Jake and the Fat Man. That was pretty good.
Yeah, right?
Jake and the Fat Man.
the Zach Wilde fucking wow. Jake and the Fat Man. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Barnaby Jones.
Now I want to hear Barnaby Jones. Trapper John MD. All right. And at number 15 is Live at Budokan. Came out in 2002. I never heard that one. Apparently, it was from the show, a concert that he played with Zakk Wylde, ex-Faith No More drummer Mike Bordin, Puffy, and future Metallica bassist Robert I can never say his fucking name. Trujillo?
Trujillo?
Yeah, him.
Is that the Just Say Ozzy album? No, 2002. No.
Yeah, 2002. No. Next up, we have Live and Loud, which came out in 1993, in which he played with Zakk Wylde.
Is that the Just Say Ozzy?
No. Former Alice in Chains bassist Mike Inez and Randy Castillo drummer.
Drummer
Randy Castillo. Shut up. Number 13, Scream, which came out in 2010. I don't think I ever listened to that one.
I did recently, but I listened to all of them. Like all together, like, you know, so it kind of, it all blends together.
Right. Next up at number 12, we have Ordinary Man that came out in 2020. I think I heard one song off of that and I didn't really care for it.
Yeah, that one is not good.
Mm.
From what I recall. He did a lot of collabs on that one, but it was like, no.
Mm.
Not a fan.
Not so fan. Number 11, No Rest for the Wicked, 1988.
What the fuck? That's why you wanted me to know this, didn't you?
Maybe.
No Rest for the Wicked. Oh.
Number 11.
That makes me mad. Number 11?
Number 11.
Yep. I love that fucking album. That's the last album I like fully. Oh.
And there are 10, and according to this article, there are 10 albums better than No Rest for the Wicked, including at number 10, Black Rain, that came out in 2017.
Get the fuck out of here with that shit. Black Rain.
All right, how about at number 9, his latest album, Patient Number 9. Number 9. I would not put that at better than No Rest for the Wicked.
Hells no.
Hells to the no. All right. Number 8.
That was the introduction of Zach, man. That was the game changing when Zach first, I was like, holy shit, what the hell is that? And he was fucking doing the crazy whale thing that he does all the time now, but that shit was fucking cool as fuck.
What, on No Rest for the Wicked?
As a guitarist. Yeah, like that's the first, you know. That was the first introduction to Zach Wilde, and I was like, holy shit, that guy is fucking crazy. He's wild! But he's fucking, the fucking pinch harmonic, like a wow! Like, I never heard anybody do that like that. It's fucking cool as shit.
Alright, at number 8, Speak of the Devil, 1982.
Speak of the That album is... No. God, this list has pissed me off now.
Well, you'll love this then. At number 7, Down to Earth, 2001. With songs like Get Me Through, Gets Me Through. All right. At number 6, one of my favorite Aussie albums, but you probably will not agree. The Ultimate Sin, 1986. The Ultimate Sin. And then
I get the end where he's like, it was the ultimate sin. Which is a growl. Like, holy shit, where the fuck did that come from?
Right. And then I love, and then of course, Killer of Giants.
Giants.
Love that. Love it.
No, but I think that for me, the top albums are, you know, the first two, Diary of Madman, Blizzard of Buzz, Bark the Moon, Ultimate Sin, and No Rest for the Wicked. That's all the good ones.
But not in that, necessarily in that order, right?
Yeah, I don't know what order I'd put that in. But though that's where it's good.
Right.
And then everything else is varying degrees of meh. And the fact that two albums are not in the top upper slots there. Fuck this. Who? Louder? Fuck.
Yep. All right, well, get excited because we're in the top 5 now. And coming in at number 5 is Bark at the Moon, 1983. That is a great album.
It's a good album. I feel like Ultimate Sin is not as good, but there is good stuff on there. But I like Bark at the Moon better, personally. Mm. The Jackie Lee era.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Jackie Lee was great. Number 4, coming in at number 4, Tribute, 1987.
That's a tough one to dispute because Because actually, I like all the versions. Because the recording on the first two albums just doesn't sound good to me.
Right, yeah.
You know, like the mixing or something is just fucking sounds like a lot of Randy's playing sounds kind of doesn't sound good to me on that, on those albums. I'm sure at the time it did, but it really aged. It sounds old. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, it's funny but too, because
the tribute versions.
Tribute is, excuse me. Like when I think of Ozzy albums, I don't think of tribute as like one of, it's like a tribute to Randy.
Yeah, but all the versions of those songs I enjoy way more than I do on the album version.
Right.
And you really get a good sense of Randy Rhoads, like his playing is way more impressive on the tribute album to me as opposed to the album version.
Mm.
It's not bad on the album, but it sounds, I don't know, something just sounds too mechanical about his like solo. Like, I don't know, it just doesn't sound as good, but on the fucking tribute, like I used to listen to that. That was one of my favorites back in the day there.
Mm.
I love every version that's on there. Better than the album versions, which never happens. I don't ever think of another live-ish album that I like better than the album itself.
Yeah, usually. Right, yeah. Well, oh, fuck. You're not going to like this one.
No! More tears, no!
Coming in at number 3. No More Tears, 1991.
Get the fuck out of here with that shit.
Number 3.
You put that shit before Tribute?
What? Before fuck. Tribute, before before Ultimate Sin, before No Rest for the Wicked.
Oh, no.
And here's a little blurb of what they had to say about it. The biggest selling album of Ozzy's solo career is also his most adventurous.
Bitch, please. They probably say that shit, same shit about the fucking Black Album.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Right. So there's only two left. Two left. Any thoughts on what those could be?
I'm going to say, I think Blizzard of Oz is number 1, 2, and Diary is 1, but I could be wrong.
Coming in at number 2, Diary of a Madman, 1981, which, of course, means...
I see.
Huh? What?
I see.
Which means, of course, that coming in at number 1, the greatest Ozzy solo album of all time, is Blizzard of Oz, which came out in 1980. And,
well, it's hard to, you know, like...
Yeah.
I kind of almost think of them as one album. I think of it more in the guitar player eras than I do actually the albums.
Oh, right, yeah.
That's how I kind of... think of the Ozzy although, time period.
I do have to say, Blizzard of Oz had some great stuff on it. Crazy Train.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Crowley, love that song. Suicide Solution, that's a great song. But, of course...
The tribute version.
Yeah. Diary of a Madman had some great songs, too. Flying High Again, I love that one. You Can't Kill Rock and Roll. So there you go. So
yeah, they all got good songs.
So I'm guessing from your reaction that they pretty much nailed it, huh?
No more tears. Come on. I mean, not that it's even a bad album. It's just I don't know. It's just it's so fucking. Poppy and radio, that radio sound, you know, I don't know how to distill that down to what that is, but it's something that when I hear it, it makes me mad.
Right.
It makes me lose interest because it sounds too safe and too like,
yeah,
I don't know.
It's not
all the
bad, but it's definitely not, I wouldn't even put it in the top five, excuse me.
It feels like all the edges have been sanded down, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's just...
Right.
It's safe. It's safe for you to share with your family and your kids. Yeah. And everybody, listen to the new Ozzy record.
And we're talking about he's fucking... Prince
of Darkness?
Yeah, exactly. We're talking about Ozzy, the fucking Prince of Darkness.
I mean, he did talk about some... Yeah, I mean, Mama, I'm Coming Home and all that shit. I mean, like, they weren't bad songs. Mama, I'm
coming home.
But there's, like... It's like six ballads on that. Fuck, there's a whole shitload of ballads on that album.
I know, right?
And I like Ozzy's ballads for the most part, but I'm like no. It just sounds like how everything went like poppy bullshit. And I'm like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
They took the danger out of it.
Poppy bullshit.
I mean, he still was talking about some weird shit. I mean, Mr. Tinkertrain, I guess, is like a child.
Yeah.
Abducting molester or something. I don't know. That's kind of fucked up.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But then you call it Mr. Tinkertrain, which nobody's going to get by the name. They're like, what?
Yeah, no shit, huh?
That makes it sound fucking lame. Even though you're singing it. I don't know. I just remember hearing that, and I was like, because I really liked No Rest for the Wicked, and then we went to that one, and I was like, No More Tears. I was like, okay, that's okay, whatever. But then, I don't know. I just bought it and was like, meh.
I know, right?
Yeah. There was something missing. The something that I enjoyed about it was gone.
You know, like,
which also happened with Metallica and other bands of that time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were their, it was their mainstream album.
Yeah.
Like, Black was their mainstream album.
Right.
The Black album.
Which they never recovered from. I mean, from.
Fucking No More Tears, that was his mainstream album.
No More
Testament Tears. Did, what was that called?
The Ritual. Called, The Ritual.
The Ritual, that was kind of their attempt at their mainstream album.
Right. I remember I got The Ritual on a trip, one of our school trips. Our Latin class used to take trips to Harvard Square, and I bought it out there, and I remember I was like, ooh, New Testament, and I remember I brought it over to you, and we listened to it, and we were both like, oh, what?
Yeah, like it was like more hard rocky than thrash metal, and
yeah.
I was like, oh, like it felt like all my favorite bands were like just I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't want to say selling out, but I mean, because that just sounds stupid to say that, you know?
Right? Yeah.
Oh, selling out, man.
But
kind of that, but in a less cringy way to say it.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely felt like they were abandoning us.
In a way.
Yeah.
Because, but I mean, not, you know, I mean, that's their livelihood, and they want more people to listen to them and be more successful. I get sure. That makes sense.
Right.
But something was definitely lost in the translation to bring it to the next level.
Right.
Because if you listen to pop music, it all sounds the fucking same, and it all has that there's certain melodies that are in all the songs that
right.
You know, mm-hmm. Like it's kind of even like back at my parents' age when they grew up, a lot of the music all had that same sound. It was the pop sound that everybody tried to capitalize on and keep pumping out people that sounded like that because it worked,
right?
And whatever that is for each era. That was happening to our music at that time.
Yeah.
And it just turned me the fuck off. I was like, oh, I don't like that.
That's because that's why we really listened to that stuff, because it wasn't the, you know, the same usual shit.
Yeah, like it had an element of like danger and like it was rebellious in a way, you know, like, and then it just sounded like, like, I don't know, like, they were trying, like, they were switching over, like, oh, we still have the heavy guitar, and I don't know, it's very weird to, I don't know how to articulate it, but you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Just something changed, and I was like, oh, I don't like that. And it's not because they became more famous, because I don't give a shit about if people, you know, it was nice to have, like, some fringe bands where you're the only one that knew about them, and you're like,
sure, yeah.
And you're like, but it's like, I don't care about that. If they sounded exactly the same and then everybody liked them, I wouldn't care. You know, like, cool. No,
yeah.
You see why I like them.
Yeah.
But there was obviously some kind of a change to get a wider audience. And whatever they did have to do to make that happen made me lose interest.
Mm.
But it's not because people like them now. It was just because they had to change some part of the formula to make it more
palatable,
acceptable to the masses.
Right.
Yes. So it's not, you know, because a lot of people say, oh, when you say the sellout thing or something, like, oh, they didn't sell out. You just, you know, you wanted them to do the same thing forever. It's like, no, I mean, I don't know. But like Metallica is a good example. I mean, I don't mean to keep talking about this, but the Injustice for All album was heavy as fuck.
Yeah.
That was their most heaviest, angriest they've ever been. Like, James Hetfield was fucking angry and fucking, it was cool as fuck.
Right.
And they have those long ass songs and all these intricate parts, and it was fucking cool. As a guitar player, I was like, this is fucking amazing. I love every part of it. Mm-hmm. And then the next album is like singing about the monsters under your bed and the fucking Sandman's coming. I'm like, what the?
Boom!
With like the, you know, and the main riff is, you know, it's catchy. Everybody knows it, but it's like, as a guitar player to play it, you're like, really? This is what we're doing now, huh?
Right.
I started playing it backwards. People remember playing the song backwards because I found it more interesting than fucking.
Well, that it's the same. Like the drums were the same too. Like Lars, like there was no way. Like, you know, like just imagine trying to play the stuff off of Injustice for All and everything. It was just like insane. But then the Black album, it's like, oh, this is pretty basic stuff.
Yeah, like you had like the intro part of Entertainment. You're like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. But yeah, everything else is pretty standard.
Yeah.
Even the fills were like, you know, like very,
yeah, right,
very mid-tempo and just like, oh. Yeah, like Justice for All, like that's the first album I remember hearing drums and I was, well, I mean, not hearing drums, but that's the first time I really, like the drums stood out to me more than normal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And all the fucking weird shit he was doing, I was like, that's fucking cool. Like all the accents and all the fucking,
oh, it's crazy shit.
Yeah, like there were so many cool things he was doing that I was like, oh man, that's fucking cool.
Right.
Like all elements, I mean, you couldn't hear the bass, I guess, but the guitar, yeah, singing, drums, I was like, yes. Everybody was at like peak performance right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just was like, meh, we're going to slow it down. And
I'm like, that was fun, but you know.
Make our songs. Yeah.
Mm.
They just like simplified everything they were doing, which just I didn't find as interesting.
You know? Yeah, like, okay. Right. And then
they were really, then it just got worse.
Yeah. Like we said before, we thought, okay, so they're, you know, they're playing around with this. Okay. But, you know, after this, they'll go back to, you know, back to at least Master of Puppets.
The metal?
Yeah. They'll go back to the metal. But then they put out Load and it was like, well, that was aptly titled.
I remember you bought that. Yeah. I remember you bought it and I went to your house and you were like, and you like were playing it for me because I haven't heard it yet. And I was like, I just hated it. I was like, what is happening? And the people that don't see that there's a difference between their old stuff and that stuff, I don't understand.
I know. Pay attention, people.
Like, they didn't change, or they just, you know, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
It's a whole night and day. It's a different band, pretty much.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
And whatever that new band was,
it sucked.
I thought sucked ass.
Yep, that was an ass.
They did have some alright songs. It took me many years to appreciate any of that shit, but I sat and listened to it, and I was like, there's some okay. I mean, it's not what I want from Metallica, but it's okay. Right. Like, if it was another band, I'm like, okay, it's you know.
Mm.
But there were so many songs, like the Reload album, like there's so many songs I don't like on there.
I've never even listened to that album.
Yeah, like the first fucking four albums, I'm like, I like every song.
Right.
And then we started hitting albums where I like less songs than I do like. And I was like, oh, that's a weird. I don't enjoy that. And now every time they come up with an album, I'm like trying to convince myself I like it, and then I kind of like it at first,
right?
And then the more I listen to it, I'm, No, this is not good. This is not good. I didn't mean to go on that tangent. What the fuck were we talking about? Well, Ozzy Osbourne.
That's okay. That's kind of why I wanted to bring up that Ozzy article, because I knew it would lead to some interesting discussion there.
Well, I don't know if it's interesting, just me bitching about it. But it's weird, because I'm like, I always hear the argument about the selling out thing, and it's like, it's not that they became successful and made money. Like, I'm good for them, you know?
Right.
That's what they're doing for a living, you know?
Yeah. But
there is definitely a change, and anybody that says that there isn't or there's not, or that's just not true.
Right.
There is definitely a tonal shift in all of these bands. Mm-hmm. Like Ozzy, that was his biggest selling album, but I'm assuming that must be in some part to his fucking No Rest for the Wicked before, because there were a whole bunch of singles off of that album.
Oh yeah.
So I'm guessing that album must have built some momentum going into the next album, because after No More Tears, I think he's started dropping down on the sales after that.
Mm.
I don't know.
Yeah. All right. I think that's enough of that.
Yeah.
I think we need to move on.
Yeah.
Although we could go on about this for fucking hours, but yeah. Let's move on.
Well, this
on.
Sucks because I can't articulate it correctly, and it's just making me annoyed, because I'm like, I'm trying to explain it in the best way, but I can't really.
Right. All right. Moving on.
And here we go.
So, that is it for our stories this evening. So now it's time to move on to Keeper's recommendations. And we do have some recommendations this week. To start off with, we both saw, separately, not together, the movie Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. So,
yes.
Without spoiling or trying not to spoil anything, what did you think?
Oh, really?
We're gonna try, but I guess I could put up a spoiler warning just in case.
Yeah, there'll probably be some spoilers. Yeah. I mean, we don't have to discuss the whole thing, but you know.
Right. All right. Hold on a second. Let me do this here. Okay. So. We're now going to talk about Black Panther Wakanda Forever. If you have not seen it yet.
Oh, spoiler alert.
There you go. There's your spoiler alert. We might spoil some of it. So, again, I say, what did you think?
I think, overall, I thought it was good.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should have recast T'Challa. Like, I'm always going to think that was the way they should have went. But
right.
Knowing that they didn't do that, I think they did a good job, the best that they could, without going that road. Like, if they had to not do that and do something else,
right?
I think they did pretty good.
Yeah, I
they paid tribute.
I very much like the way they handled it. They did, you know, they paid tribute to it, like you said, pretty well to him, pretty well, and I got a little choked up, all I will admit.
Yeah, I got like choked up like three times at least in this.
Me too. Yeah, me too.
Like, boo.
Yeah. Exactly. And yeah.
But it just kills me that they are just killing off a character. I mean, you know, I understand the situation and everything, but it's like I don't think it's a good choice. I don't think I don't know who you get. But I'm like, the character should live on. I think that's more, I don't know, it just doesn't feel right to me.
See,
and the fact that we don't get to see T'Challa and Namor meet up,
yeah,
just kind of bothers me on some level, even though I just have to get over it. But I mean,
right.
I'm not going to start a whole fucking blog on it or anything, but I'm just saying, on my own personal preference, I'm like, ugh.
I think I kind of actually fall right down the middle with that, because I feel both ways. I feel on the one hand that they did a good job, you know, they did a good tribute to him, and on the one hand, seeing Black Panther be recast would kind of feel wrong to me, but On the other hand, I part of me agrees with you as well that, you know, the character should live on. So I'm like, kind of both.
Yeah, know, I mean, it's a tough situation. Yeah, we know. I got videos. I got That's videos, people. Mbaka. Mbaka. Yeah, like, but I think always the character is bigger than the actor to me.
I mean, sure, the character's been
established, you know.
Yeah, I totally
like get they that. Always replace, you know, how many Batman have they fucking been, you know what I'm saying? It's just like,
right.
I mean, I think that you should take some time and not do it right away, but I think ultimately you recast fucking T'Challa because he should be a part of the MCU.
Mm.
But, you know, they didn't do that. And I think they did the best that they could with moving forward with that.
Right.
But so I'm never going to completely agree with that, but it doesn't matter. But I mean, that, you know,
right.
So that's always going to bother me a little bit.
So moving on from that, what else did you think?
I thought there was some like Namor. He felt really different, but I, in a way, I liked what they were doing with him.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
He didn't feel like a threat. But at the same time, like his motivation and shit was kind of a little thin or didn't really read as,
Yeah, I get that.
It was like, oh, I came to the surface world and people were fucked up and now I'm like, I don't like them and they all should die.
I mean, they only
get the instance that he was when he was a kid, but I'm like, have you been keeping it? And I like, I don't know. I feel like maybe he wasn't keeping an eye on them. I don't know.
I mean, you know, I can't disagree with Namor, but you know.
Oh yeah, I get it. but he's not even living in it. Right. He's separate in his own little fucking underworld fucking world there.
Exactly.
I'm living that shit daily, motherfucker.
That's right.
Telling me about it. But then the whole thing with Riri, and I'm like, I don't really like the take on Riri. I don't know that character very well, but that the take on it, I wasn't really feeling.
I was there for the origin. I read the origin of Riri in the comics, so I know where she comes from and everything. But I don't know. Like, I've never been a huge fan of her, so I'm not really that bothered by what they did with her.
Well, I mean, I think it was like the actor, like, I don't think it was the actress, but like the take on the character. I didn't really find her that likable, really. I didn't leave going, I can't wait to watch the Ironheart show. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you're saying there. Yeah, that I think I agree with. I didn't really.
And the whole thing where the spoiler I was saying about the Namor want to have, he has to kill her. I'm like, that didn't really make complete sense.
Right,
because the government already has the machine.
Right,
they said they only had one. But I'm like, the cat's out of the bag already on that jet.
Yeah, right.
Look, if they have the machine, they can, you know, they can figure out how to fucking do it.
I think basically, Namor's kind of a jerk. So,
yeah, but it was just like, she has to die, and I can't waver on that. It's like, if they just explained to her what the fucking, you know, like, she was a kid, she did the school project.
Right.
There was no malice, and she just, that's, you know, like, just explained to him the situation, but they didn't explain it to him. They were just like, she has to die, and they're like, well, I can't let you do that, and then that caused the whole rift.
Right.
It just didn't, it was kind of weak as a, you know, motivation. Mm-hmm. Like, I get, it makes sense on the surface, but when you go any deeper, you're like, well, that doesn't make, like, why, it doesn't really hold up that well, you know?
Why?
It's enough, it makes enough sense to keep the story moving, but it doesn't really hold water, as they say.
Oh, I see what you did there. I see.
I didn't even mean to do that, actually. Where to go?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but overall, I thought it was good. I don't know. It just felt like, I was weird at the beginning. I just felt like I was waiting for T'Challa just to show up at some point, which is weird because it's like, you know, like, I know he's not in the movie, but I just felt like he was going to come around the corner at any moment. So I don't know. It's very weird. The cast all were good. You know, everybody was good.
Yeah, definitely. And hey, it wasn't like too jokey either.
No, which was nice. But it's kind of like it's a Black Panther movie without Black Panther in it.
Yeah.
So that's a weird element because you're like, I mean, eventually they get there, but I'm like, you're like 2 hours into it. And you're like, there's no Black Panther in the Black Panther for 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, that is, I did kind of think of that when Shuri finally became a Black Panther. I was like, wow, we've gone this long with no Black Panther.
Yeah, in a Black Panther movie. It's kind of weird. But it all makes sense, like how she came to it. Like, I don't know if it was the smoothest, but it was pretty good.
Right.
And I noticed, one thing I noticed, there was like a lot of weird editing. I felt like there were weird editing mistakes, or like really like blunt edits, or choppy, sort of. Did you feel that, or was that?
I think a couple of times.
I just remember a certain part. I remember the one, there was like one part I was like, is this, are they meaning to do this? Is this? This is just a choice, or is there something weird going on here?
Right.
I don't know. But I think it was good.
Yeah, I do too.
Overall.
I really enjoyed it. They really got me in the feels with all the Chadwick Boseman stuff. Like when they showed
Oh, go ahead. That's what I was going to say.
When they showed the Marvel beginning, it was just silent and it was just all him. I was just like, oh man, you're killing me.
Yeah, you got me right out of the fucking gate. I was like, oh. Yeah. Well, the part before that was like, oh.
Oh, I know. Whoa. I know. I was like, oh man. So I did enjoy the film. You know, there were some things that were perhaps not perfect, but overall I enjoyed it. It was, though, a little on the long side, I felt, but
yeah, I don't know if that was. I mean, it wasn't painful.
No,
Sith or anything, but I feel like on a rewatch, like you know, kind of shaved it down a little bit there.
Right. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Well, how do you feel about Namor? Like, I like it, but I don't know. I overall like it though, but
yeah, I liked it. Like, I liked what they did with it, but there was always the nagging voice in the back of my head that said, it's not right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you had some definitely cool moments. But it's weird. Like, they changed so much, and it's like, but you kept the wings on the thing. That's the first thing I thought they would get rid of, you know? I'm like, they're never going to fucking do that.
Yeah. I was like, that's just weird.
But I'm glad that they did keep it.
Yeah.
It is weird, but it was cool. I thought it was cool. And flying around and fucking shut up.
I know, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just the wings on the ankles themselves that have always been weird. And like in the comics, you can like ignore it. But on the movie screen, you were just like, he's got wings on his ankles.
Yeah, like it just like that. Like that's the first thing they're going to get rid of. But that's one of the main things they kept.
I know.
Which is just weird.
I know, right?
Like it works, but it is, I don't know. It doesn't feel exactly, it's weird.
Yeah.
Because there were different moments where it felt like Namor, but then other times I was like, no.
Right.
But not necessarily bad, but just didn't feel.
Yeah.
Bad,
yeah. You know? Right. Like it didn't ever offend me. It was just like, it's just not quite right.
Yeah. Cause Namor's a fucking bastard too.
Yeah, he is.
And I'm like, this guy was not really, like, he had moments where he said, you know, if you don't, you're not playing ball.
Right.
Well, this is what's going to fucking happen. And I'm like, okay, that's some Namor kind of shit going on right there.
Right.
But I don't know. The one thing that bothered me is the title. This is something that a nitpick that you would probably have on your deal is that they did, when he was explaining his hate for the surface world, they did like a flashback to when he was a kid. and when he came to the surface world for the first time. And he basically was wearing the same clothes as when he was a little Namor to a grown-ass Namor. And I thought that was weird.
Yeah. I noticed that, too. I was like, hey.
I'm like, you could have done something a little different there. Like, we would have understood that was him.
Yeah.
I don't. Because he's pretty much just rocking the fucking Peter Pan shorts and topless. It's like he's been doing that. He's a fucking ride or die on them shorts. Well, I can't. I wear shorts all the time, too. So I don't know. I'd probably be wearing the same clothes.
And his, you know, he ages slower than others. So that means he's been wearing that same shit for a long time.
Yeah. But I just found that weird. I was like, he's wearing the same exact shit in the Flash magazine. he had more jewelry on when he got older.
Well, one other thing, one other weird nitpicky thing about that is when he was a kid, I was like, those fucking things in those earrings or whatever they are, they're way too fucking huge for his little kid head.
There it is. I knew he had one of them. You had something.
Of course. So there you go. All right. Well, so basically we liked it. It was pretty good overall.
Yeah.
Not perfect, but pretty good. So I guess I think that's all we really need to say for now. So why don't we move on to your recommendations? Cause you got a couple of things.
Okay. I'm going to try to do this fast here. I played Bayonetta 3 and I finished that. And, overall I liked it, but there felt like there was something off that I can't really, I don't know if it's the whole voice actor thing kind of tainted a little bit or, mm-hmm. Something didn't feel right to me though, but I mean, Jennifer Hale did a good job as replacing the original voice actor.
Right.
But like there was something missing, like the personality, I felt like there was something muted there about Bayonetta. Maybe she wound up giving less speaking parts because of that whole debacle. And they were like,
okay.
Maybe they cut back her part a little bit.
Right.
And some of the story was really hard to, I mean, the story is never the draw in these games. There's just some crazy bullshit going on. And you just right, go along for the ride, you know?
Right.
But they had that in here, but it felt like so disjointed and like there was just like going from one scene to another. And I didn't feel like there was any cohesion of what the fuck is going on, really. And I'm like, like I know basically what's going on, but it just didn't feel, it was hard to like get wrapped into it at all, you know? But on the play mechanics, though, like, it's fucking insane. It's fucking insane.
Really?
Like, Bayonetta, they have, like, you get, like, 10 different weapons, and they all have, you know, all their own moves, and then you have a button that basically is a kaiju button. You can call it any moment. And I'm like, because Devil May Cry, like, they had, like, a weapon that was a motorcycle that you split in half and they turned into giant chainsaws so you could fuck people up with them. Then you could get, they would form together and you could ride them and like crash into people and shit, and it was like, well, that's crazy. And they had like a demonic hat that when he first gets it, he puts it on and he starts dancing around like Michael Jackson. And then you can use that in battle. You can throw the hat on people and crazy. I'm like, how are they gonna top that? And I'm like, Bayonetta was like, where fucking hold my beer, man. And they came in and because they have a train that you get that is like kind of like the motorcycle. You can ride it and it turns into like giant chainsaw things.
Oh wow!
But you get a weapon, and each weapon has like a demon attributed to it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can set the different demon forms. So each demon has a different thing, and so you can just be sitting there fighting, kicking the shit out of somebody. Hit the left trigger there, and a giant fucking demon comes and just starts kicking the shit out of stuff. And that demon has its own moves that you can control to some degree.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, that's insane. And it just, you know, like, it doesn't fuck up the flow of gameplay. Like, you're just like, all right, I'm just kicking the shit out of them with my weapon. A giant fucking demon comes in, kicks them in the face, and then I can just get rid of them and go right back into just, you know, like, it doesn't stop the action. It's just insane.
That's cool.
Like, that's pretty fucking cool. Like, I don't know what the hell you do after that. I'm like, you got to fucking, there's like one of them that's like basically like a Godzilla. You got like a Godzilla on a button. Like, how the fuck do you beat that? And then they had some spots where they got really, really big, and then it was like a fucking Godzilla battle. Like, even the music kind of had like that feel. It was like just two giant creatures just fucking fighting each other.
That's awesome.
Which was pretty cool. Like, it's still crazy. There's still crazy shit going on, but I don't know. Something felt off. Like, I found myself playing like short bursts. Like, I didn't really want to like the levels are like more open. Oh, there's more stuff to collect, but like, you kind of just do the same shit in each area. Like, you go, oh, like, there's a lot of extra shit that by the near the end part, I was like, I just stopped doing it because I'm like, yeah, I don't want to, which is not good. Right. That's not right. Right?
No.
And also, they introduce this new person that you're like, they kind of give her some story, but you play as her sometimes, and I'm like, she was fun to play, but I'm like, you know, I don't really give a shit. I want to play as Bayonetta. But then, and here's a spoiler.
Spoiler.
Okay, for anybody. Spoiler alert. At the end of the game, you know, usually when they introduce somebody new, that's usually the replacement they're coming in with. And, like, Bayonetta basically dies at the end.
Oh.
And I was like what? Why would you do that? But they have, like, a multiverse, so there's, like, different Bayonettas that you've been playing or seeing throughout the game. And the girl that you're, the newer person they introduce is actually her daughter. Her and this guy's daughter. But her name is Viola, but they were, like, at the end, they were like, you gotta take the family name as Bayonetta, so she's, like, supposed to be the new Bayonetta. And I'm like, fuck no.
So what exactly is Bayonetta?
She's a witch.
Oh, okay, okay.
And in the other game, she's like fighting like angels and like the armies of heaven.
Mm.
But in this one, there it's some kind of a. I mean, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. But there's a guy, this thing that's going through all the different multiverses and destroying them, so there'll be one alpha verse, and he went. It's, you know, like, control everything.
Okay.
Yep. So she's like, it's fucking crazy. I mean, to try to make sense out of it. But I'm like, I don't know. There's a weird trend of shit that the things I like to keep killing off or getting rid of the character that makes me like the thing, which I don't like. Like the Gotham Knights game, it's a game without Batman. I'm like, I like the other characters, but I'm like, it's a Batman game without Batman.
Right.
So that's kind of fucked up and weird. Like, why are we killing Batman? We don't need to do that.
Mm.
And then, well, I mean, Black Panther, that's kind of a different story, but I'm like, you got rid of Black Panther. And, okay. And then I'm playing Bayonetta, like, you got rid of Bayonetta. I'm like, well, in the Bayonetta game. Like, and
so
I just started playing. Oh, go ahead.
That Gotham Knights game, you finished that, right? And
yeah, I mean, it's still extra bullshit I gotta do, but
and like, they never, like, Batman's still dead, right? They didn't like say, well, oh, it's you know, he wasn't really dead or anything.
Well, okay, a spoiler on Gotham Knights.
Spoiler.
Are you okay with? Well,
yep.
Ahead. I kept pushing the fucking Lazarus pits and shit, and I'm like,
all right,
he's gonna come back, you know, like, he's gonna come back.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, he does come back. But as far as I'm concerned, he came back, but then really died. And I was like,
"Oh,
why did you do that?"
Oh, that's not.
I think some people took it as he's not dead, but it sounded the way that he came back and he felt like he like sacrificed himself.
Mm.
And I'm like, that felt like he was saying that he's really dead now. I mean, he what, you know, because that doesn't make any sense for him to. To come,
oh man,
back just to be like,
yeah.
So that kind of pissed, kind of made me feel fucked up because I'm like, oh, there he is, he's fucking in here. I knew it,
mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh shit, he's back, and then like, oh, wait a minute, he's really dead now? Fuck! You fucks! But there seems to be this weird obsession with, hey, you know that thing you really like? Well, we're going to get rid of the thing that you like about it, and then keep selling it to you. It's like, what? No.
Yeah.
And to go into that, I just started playing God of War, and I'm pretty, I've heard no spoilers somehow. I don't know how I got that without getting spoiled at all. Right. But I'm pretty sure I feel like Kratos is going to fucking die at the end of this. I just have that vibe. But I think they said something about the prophecy and they saw that he was supposed to die or what. I don't know. But I feel like that's how it's going to end. I've been feeling that way since the last game. But I'm like, I just don't understand. You know?
Yeah, right.
Because they have his son and their child. That he's like more able to do stuff on his own.
Right.
But I'm like, okay, but that's not fucking the God of War. That's not fucking Kratos. I mainly give a shit about Kratos. You're trying to, you know, if you get rid of him, I'm like, how do you keep the thing going?
Yeah.
So that's four things in a row that I've enjoyed that have taken away the thing that I enjoy about it. It's very, I don't get it. What's, you know, I mean, the Black Panther thing is, you know, different, but I mean, I like T'Challa, the character, and I'm like, oh, but I mean, Black Panther is still there, but it's, you know, it's different.
Right.
That's a different scenario, but I'm like, they were
forced to do that. They wouldn't have done that if he had not passed away.
Yeah. But I'm like, it's just weird that I'm like, all the things I've been, you know, interacting with and enjoying are, they all have that same element of, hey, the thing you like about this, we're going to kill that off probably. And you're like, well, why would you do that? Especially like in a, that's where that shit can live forever in a comic, you know, in comics and in video games.
Right.
Like, you don't have to kill a character off. Maybe you could take a break, have a little spinoff or something, but I'm like, why would you get rid of a character? I don't understand. Especially one that's making you a lot of money. I don't get that.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like another thing, I mean, I'd probably check out, you know, if they came out with the game, but I'm like, that character, I'm like, it's not Bayonetta. Like, that's the whole part of the deal that I played the three games. I got into that character and cared about it and liked it. And then you're like, yeah, we're not doing that so much anymore. The same with the Metal Gear thing. You remember Metal Gear Solid? Was fucking great. And then they came to two and they kept showing fucking Solid Snake and you're like, oh, cool. And you're like, yeah, you're not going to play as him. It's a whole game. And I'm like, well, what? Why would you do that?
Right, that's why I stopped playing Metal Gear, that's right.
And then in the third game, it was like a prequel where you were playing actually Big Boss, but it wasn't Solid Snake, but it looked like him, so because it's clones, is the whole thing, but it's just weird. I'm like, you never play as him again, actually. Oh, and four you do, but I'm like, it's just weird. Mm. Weird choices. Like, wow, this game did really good, and people really seem to be attached to this character. Yeah, let's kill him off. Like, I don't
know. Well, yeah.
But I still recommend Bayonetta 3. It's, you know, overall, I felt a little disappointed, but it's not a bad game. The one thing that sucks, too, I'll try to wrap it up quick, is that, you know, it has to be on the Nintendo Switch, which is
just a
detriment.
Yeah. You know?
Like, it ran okay, but I'm like, it looks like an Xbox 360 game, and like, and that's the best it's ever going to do on there, which is kind of sucks, you know? Like, I'd love to see that shit on a PS5 or something, like, ooh. But it's kind of the charm of it, but it also is kind of sucks that, you know, as we go on, it's like, that's as good as, whatever the Nintendo hardware is, that's as good as it's ever going to let it get.
Right.
Because that's a Nintendo exclusive. So I'm like, so that's annoying.
All right. Well,
and the Nintendo Switch controller is fucked. Wait, so it took me so long to get used to fucking using that shit because the button layout is different. So it was completely fucking me up. All right, now then.
Okay. So on that note, I think it's time for us to move on.
Yeah. Like,
and there seems to be a problem with my button, so...
Oh.
All right. So we'll just...
Are we recording?
Yes, we are recording. Okay. So we will just move on.
And here we go.
To our final segment, which of course means that it is now time for... Keep it to the fringe, move your feet away. And this week, we watched a little movie called Jake Speed. Jake Speed came out in 1986. It was written by Wayne Crawford and Andrew Lane, and it was directed by Andrew Lane, and it stars Wayne Crawford, Dennis Christopher, Karen Copins, John Hurt, and others. And the main plot of the film is, in a world where, unbeknownst to the public, all famous Pulp Fiction heroes are real, one of them, Jake Speed, agrees to help desperate Margaret Winston save her sister from sadistic white slaver Sid, who's operating in Africa. So, there you have it. It's the story of Jake Speed there, and yep, we watched it. Yep. Thoughts?
I really like the idea of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in this world, like, Remo Williams and Doc Savage are real, you know? Right. They mentioned Remo Williams a couple times.
Right.
And I was like, oh, shit.
Remo Williams.
And I like the idea that he is, you know, when somebody's in trouble, like, he finds out about it, and he's not doing it. He's not helping them for money or anything. He's doing it for another book. You know, like, we need a new story, and I'm helping you.
Right.
And I'm going to do it in the most adventurous, dangerous way so I can have a good story to write.
Right.
Because he has, like, as Christopher plays, like, his right-hand man there, which he's writing the story as they're doing it, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like that, because he's like, how much do I... I owe you, or, you know, and he's like,
right, yeah.
Nothing. He's like, if I was doing this for money, I wouldn't be doing it. I wouldn't be on the wrong side of the. They're like, yeah, that's true. So I feel like there's a lot of ideas there that I like. Like, I think that's kind of an interesting premise, or
could
be, you know.
Yeah, I agree. However, I think. The execution was just, I mean, it wasn't bad. It was just kind of, you know, just average.
Yeah, and it was like 2 hours long, I think. I'm like,
it was an hour and 40-something minutes.
Oh, really? I thought it was longer.
No. An hour and 45 minutes. Yeah, so... almost 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it felt like it.
Which I don't feel like that was necessary.
Yeah.
You weren't a fan, I'm getting.
No. Like I said, it wasn't a bad movie. It was just average. Painfully average.
Yeah. And they had some, you know, the cast was okay, though. And they had some familiar faces that I recognized from other things.
Yeah.
Like the was it Karen Copins?
Mm-hmm.
She played the main woman lead in this, but I was like, I know her. She was the girlfriend in Once Bitten with the Laura Hutton and Jim Carrey there, the vampire movie.
Right.
I was like, oh shit. Mm-hmm. And Dennis Christopher was in a bunch of stuff too. I mean, like Fade to Black, and he was in like the It TV series, and he was in a bunch of stuff too.
Oh,
and there was Donna Pescow, like, I know her from TV and shit, you know, throughout the years. Right. There's like a lot of faces that I remember seeing, so that was kind of nice. And yeah, like it was okay. I mean, I like the idea, but yeah, more than the execution
right
of it. I did take a couple notes, but then I kind of trailed off. But they did. There was a couple of standout things for me, mainly from the front half of the movie. But the first note I have is they 80s the shit out of the intro, man.
Yeah, they did.
Like the music and everything got like, holy shit, like this is so 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Like even on the whole opening scene there with the guys trying to kidnap the girls, like all the music, I was like, oh, man.
Right.
And at some part, they go to a bar, and they they had She's a Maniac playing, and they were playing it on, like, kettle drum. Oh, yeah,
I forgot about that.
And they had this local woman just kind of dressed up in, like, a leotard and fucking, like, kind of doing some of the dance moves. But and then they had this weird fucking guy that was like dancing on stage, but there was one part where he was just had this—he was biting his shoe. He had like his shoe in his mouth, and he was like dancing around with one leg
while he was still wearing it.
I was like, "What the fuck?"
He had the shoe in his mouth while he was still wearing it,
and he was like bouncing and gyrating around why his foot was in his mouth, and I was like, with She's a Maniac playing on the kettle drum. And that shit was killing me. I was like, this is amazing.
That me too. That was that one I definitely was dying.
I was like, damn, I could just sit on this band for the rest of the movie and like just see their interpretations of other hits from the 80s.
I know, right?
And then at one point,
oh, it was so good.
They met up with these guys, and one guy calls the other guy a man-sized hunk of shit. Which I was like, yes! I love that. And they were, Jake Speed was trying to sell the character, you know, like he was trying to like sell her so that he could follow her to where, you know, the slavers were. And she was like, he didn't, for some reason, didn't tell her the plan. So she was like, what are you doing? I'm not fucking, you know. So she was trying to talk her way out of it. And she was saying, oh, I have venereal diseases. And it started going lips. And the guy was like listing all of them. She's like, yeah. He's like, clap. He's like, yeah. He's like, oh, we might have more in common than you think. And then he said something about fucking crotch crickets, which I never heard that before.
Crotch crickets. That was awesome.
He's like, you got crotch crickets? And I was like, oh, shit. That's funny.
So there was.
So that's my main takeaways.
There was some enjoyment in the film. It was just overall, it was just kind of meh.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad because I was watching it, but I kind of was drifting. You know, it was hard keeping my attention. I know everything that happened, but I'm like, I just wasn't totally connecting with it, so it was kind of like meh.
What? That's kind of the thing, too. You don't have to, like, completely pay attention to it to get what's going on.
Yeah, like, I got all the story beats of what happened and what, you know, but any of the flavorful moments, I think I missed out on to some degree, but I don't know if there were that many. Did you fall asleep?
No, I did not.
Did you fall asleep? Oh, no. Good show.
Indeed.
Well, I kind of picked a weird time to watch it because I was like, Mark, if we're doing the show tonight, which is Saturday night, I'm like,
Oh, really?
I have to watch it. So I was going to like, I'm going to watch half of it Friday night and then the rest of it Saturday, but I just kind of let it run, which I shouldn't have done. I should have done what my plan was.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
The Jake Speed character, he like, you know, I liked his optimism and, you know, he was like, I'm just a good guy and doing, you know, like
sure.
His whole thing, but he seemed he had some bad advice though. As far as like, well, if you're right, then you're always going to win. It's like, that's not true, Jake.
No.
And then it like, if you just want something bad enough, it's going to happen. I'm like, that's another thing that's not good.
That's
not a good thing to put out there.
Not quite how things work there, buddy.
Yeah, it's like, Jake Speed, I think you need to pump your brakes. You're talking out your ass right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, he was, you know, he's a pulp hero, so of course he's going to be that way.
But I like he was a good, you know, he was just doing the right thing. He's like, I'm just doing it because that's the right thing to do, which I appreciate that. And like, yeah, there's not enough of that. But the things he would say after, I'm like, oh, no, Jake.
No, Jake.
How'd you make it this far? Jake.
Bad, Jake. Bad.
What's weird is that, well, this is kind of like a satire of those of like pulp novels because they were referencing actual pulp characters, but Jake Speed is not. He's just made for the movie. He's not an actual.
Which was interesting, but also a little odd.
Yeah, but I do really like. I think there was some potential in that premise, especially of like I'm just trying to write. I'm helping you. It's the right thing to do, but I'm also just trying to get a story for my next novel.
Right.
That's the payment, is that my legend lives on, and like there's something I like about that.
That's kind of like that what we do cool, here at the Keepers.
I don't think it's helping any of our legends.
No?
Like, oh yeah, weren't those two guys that talk bullshit on the fucking... Like, yeah.
Yep. That's awesome.
The only thing that helps us is that we're lost in the sea of other dipshits that talk bullshit on the fucking podcast.
I know, right?
We're a dime a dozen nowadays.
Yeah, sadly. Anything else you wanted to say about the movie?
No.
All right. Well, that means it's time for the Keep It or Sweep It. And that means that it is time for us to decide if this movie is a keeper, something that we will put in the keeper's vault to be preserved for all eternity, or is this movie a sweeper, something that should be swept back to the fringes, never to be heard from again. And so, what say ye?
I like the idea of it. So, but I mean, if you never saw this, I don't think you'd really be missing out on too much.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that means it's a sweep, but I like the idea of it. So it's kind of a, I don't know.
I hear you. But, I...
I know where you're going.
Oh, do you? Is it that obvious?
I'm pretty sure.
I think because, I mean, it's like you said, it had some potential there, but I think because it ended up just being an average film, I think it's going to have to be a keeper. No, just kidding. I'm sweeping that shit.
I'm sweeping that.
If it had been,
but it wasn't like it was terrible though.
No, it wasn't terrible. It was not at all. It was just, unfortunately, it was just like, it's just a forgettable film. Like it's probably not anything I'd ever want to go back and rewatch or anything. So,
But I mean, I've definitely seen way fucking worse.
Oh fuck yeah!
So if anybody hearing the premise, you know, like. If that sounds interesting to you, I would say check it out, but...
Yeah, I would agree with that. Just don't expect, you know...
Yeah, I don't expect a lot there from it.
Don't expect it to fully live up to that potential.
Yeah, I mean, there's some fun to be had there, but...
Sure, yeah.
I don't know, yeah, like, I don't... Rewatchability is kind of a factor. I'm like, I don't see me...
Right.
This being in the rotation of something I go back to, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like John Hurt was good and all, but yeah.
Yeah, it was good seeing him. And I mean, the cast overall was, you know, fine.
Yeah, sure.
But.
Yeah. So, all right. There you have it, kids. That is our verdict on Jake Speed. But that brings us to the end of our journey, folks. So, is there anything else you wanted to say before we signed off?
No. Now, I said way too much.
I know, right? All right, well, that means, of course, it is time for us to go. And, of course, we want to remind you that, as always, we really do appreciate each and every one of you who listens. And, of course, that means that he's Chris. I'm Derek. We are the Keepers of the Fringe. And in the immortal words of Eric Cartman,
screw you guys. I'm going home.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
But Cartman, we're trying to... screw you guys. Home.
We like movies.
That's a good start.